Welcome to the So-and-So series, readings by early career poets. All right, I think it's recording. Thank you so much for coming. It's a great crowd. I appreciate it. It's just starting to sort of dawn on me. This will be the last one here. Very sad. Pour out. Don't symbolically pour out a bit of your beer. Don't actually, because Mary will get mad. But thank you for coming. I want to thank Bob and Mary, of course, not only for their hospitality over the past, I guess it's been 16 months, for letting us have this here in their beautiful space. Of course, for the beautiful work they do with the broadsides. And thanks, of course, to all the artists, some of whom are here. Please check out the broadsides from this season and last season and all of the other stuff that Ropadope Press makes and the artists individually make. Have a look around, certainly. I want to thank Kat and Trisha also for letting us be in their living room all these months. What else do I want to say? Of course, thanks to the readers for coming back, or for coming this time, for being healthy. So we're glad to have you. And of course, Derek and James.
Podcast.
Huh?
Podcast.
Oh, right. Thank you. Besides the broadsides, besides the live reading, if you missed some, there is a podcast with all the readings on it.
So-and-so-series.podomatic.com.
Right. And I want to thank Kate, of course, for putting that together. Yeah. What do you mean, finally putting it up or finally thanking you?
Finally putting it up.
Okay. So they're all up. Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't.
That's the ones that I don't have.
I actually didn't think that would happen. Just kidding. Okay. Our first reader is Dorothy Alasky. She was born in St. Louis in 1978. She is the author of the full-length collection of poems Awe on Wave Books, came out in 2007, as well as the chat books Alphabets and Portraits and The Hatmaker's Wife. She has attended Harvard. It's on two pages, sorry. And the University of... building tension here. Massachusetts Amherst. She currently lives in Philadelphia, where she co-edits the Catalanche Press chatbook series with Mick here, and is pursuing her doctorate in education from the University of Pennsylvania. Dottie Lasky.
Thank you, Chris, for having me after my allergic reaction. And just wanted to say what an honor it is to read with Jim and Dara. Thank you. All right, now that we've had that out. Nuns. I feel sad among the nuns, like in the same way I felt sad watching my husband walk away from me, backwards through the rain. He was in a movie, I was in a movie, about sadness. We were horrible to each other. Some things that hold people together are not love. There are ungenerous ways, statues and churches. There are ways we cut glass up to make paintings out of light, to hang in churches, that are not so good after all. There are 100 places in this country where 100 women with white hair sit and dream of the afterlife, Christ, Christ. That afterlife is not so good. I can think of my body on a hot day, burning into the earth like a rotten angel, all done up in makeup my sister put on me, as sterile as we see ourselves in death. The way my husband lives so sterile, in his face and hands, never letting himself give over to the great spirits of the heavens. Now and then I think of him... That's what happens when I think of him. So pure and waxy, his body held over by nuns at the church, near where his parents live. I don't think he'll ever be anything at all. I don't think he'll ever amount to anything at all, but a sexless body in the sun. Oh, too, I still love him. I was once so sexless in the mist of love, when I was young, and was not sticky with a thousand men in the afterlife, their dead hands aching on me like a million breasts, all piled on top of heads, on the top of hands and feet, all of us so millennial in our exacting piling on top of, this is just a first run, piling on top of each other, no longer one author among many, but one author is many, one author is full of everything, of many as a grand God, would be at the time of the apocalypse, of the great judgment. Even here in the nuns, in another life, look at me cross-eyed, unable to see the similarities that erase us. My love says he is surprised at how much we use the word iteration when we are together. We do so, he and I, to signify the similarities that are not so similar, still caught in being one thing, forever entwined. He should not, no, he should be. He was never one thing, similar among many. He was one singular thing into the stars. I can't ever reach him. I go running after him. I will never be bored. To find him when I find him, soft skin and then always rushing, to a new fire he finds, always rushing, smoking, lit up. They are all iterations of each other, or someone once told him that. Someone once told him that, and she wasn't wise. No, no, you were not wise, girl, the opposite of a nun. You are the opposite of a nun, but not the opposite of me. Two things slightly slanted from each other in time we are. Two things slightly turned, slightly different from one another on one hand. Girl, we are so slightly different, I wonder how we would fare in a room full of nuns, all communing in our feminine vicissitude. Red sky of light coming in and the room expanding, and the grace and holiness that is characteristic of the God. Becoming so great before you, you can't help but give in. Oh, that is not at all what I mean. I do not mean to reiterate every small thought I have had for all eternity. I mean to suggest that there is one law among many governing all of us. I mean to suggest there is one Dakini governing the whole stack of cards that suggests love. I mean to say there is one female force connecting everything on this earth, so that particularities, but only see the differences, which are small and wise and interesting to look at. No purpose in it. Oh, quite the contrary, my love, who fishes on the grand scale in a sea of words. No, no, there is purpose in it. The purpose, though, is different than you expected. The purpose is no more simple than to live. Me and the otters. Love makes you feel alive. Johnny, my animal, you have no idea how beautiful you are to me in the morning, when it is 5 a.m. and I am lonely. Everyone is dying around me. I eat spinach bread to keep my sanity. I am like Lisa in the mental unit with my I am Muriel who throws tables. I play blackjack with the clowns. Oh yes, I do all that for a salad. Your black hair is better than a piece of fate I find in the sky when I am looking 45,000 miles above the earth for things that make it all worthwhile. I do this for you, but you will never know are to me. You chop leaves in your house in New York City, dream of glamorous women, and even too they are great. No one will ever love you like I do, that is certain, because I know the inside of your face is a solid block of coal and then it too, something that is warm like warm snow. I hold the insides of you and they are warm snow, melting even, with the flurries glutted out of the morning. When I get on the plane, the stewardess tells me to let loose my heart. The man next to me was the same man as last week. Whoever those postmodernists are that say there is no universal have never spent any time with an animal. I have so many animals, I can't count the times I have let them win. Their snouts that are wet with health, dripping in the sun. Then we went and took a swim, just me and the otters. I held them so close. I felt the bump of ghosts as I held them. There is no poem that will bring back the dead, poem that I could ever say that will arise the dead in their slumber, their faces gone. There is no poem or song I could sing to you that would make me seem more beautiful. If there were such songs, I would sing them. Oh, they would hear me singing from here until dawn.